Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's L-O-N-E-S-T-A-R Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.
You're listening to live courtroom coverage of the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today. Now, back to the courtroom.
On what date?
On October 2nd. Who was the beneficiary on October 2nd on your policy?
Melanie Boudreau.
And did you change that beneficiary?
I could not. It's a whole life policy. It's not changeable without both parties.
And do you remember when you provided that to Detective Pillar?
I can't recall.
Did you provide any other financial information to Detective Pillar in regards to his email asking you for documentation?
Can you ask that question again?
Yes. Is there any other financial documentation that you provided to Detective Pillar after he requested it in the email to you?
Are you speaking like on that specific date or
anytime
at any point
after
in the future?
Yeah.
Your Honor, I'm going to object again as to extrinsic.
Sustain.
Brenda, did you meet with the prosecutor in preparation for this testimony?
Yes.
When was that?
I can't say which specific day, but I met a few weeks ago, two different times.
Two times?
Yes.
How long each time would you say? Or how long was the first time?
A couple hours.
How long was the second time?
A couple hours.
Did you review documents at that time?
Yes.
To refresh your recollection of things?
To the best I could, yes.
Did you view any of the financial documents that you provided to police during those interviews?
I did not.
What documents did you review in preparation for your testimony here today?
The ones that I can recall would be my 911 call and the conversation I had with Detective Pillar.
So your interview with Detective Pillar?
Yes, the one that I had with him in the car.
Okay. But not all of your conversations with Detective Pillar ever, right?
I don't even know how I would do that.
Okay. You had mentioned in your testimony yesterday that the Tesla has a camera on it. Is that correct?
I don't know if I mentioned it in my testimony yesterday, but the Tesla does have a camera on it, correct?
On the front or the back, or how does that work?
They have cameras on the front and the back and on the sides.
And so, like a 360 degree view?
Depending on the Tesla, there's different cameras that they have, yes.
And were any of those retrieved, to your knowledge, from the Tesla, the cameras?
The model that I had was not one where it saved the recordings.
So it doesn't save any recordings at all?
It did not.
Okay. When you talk about where the Jeep Wrangler was located on October 2nd, you said it was nose to nose with the white van, is that correct?
Correct.
How close was that nose to nose, would you say?
To me, that means that they were basically touching.
Okay. And then you had stated that you kept going straight, is that correct, after the shot?
Correct.
And then the Jeep passed you, is that correct, at some point?
I had stated that I went straight, I went around the corner and I parked, and then the Jeep followed the path that I did and went past me, went around the corner and then went down the other lane. Without looking at a map, I can't tell you what the name of that street was.
Okay. And so when it passed you, did you look over at the Jeep?
I saw the Jeep in my rearview mirror initially, and then I looked over to the right as it drove off down the road.
And did you see the driver of the Jeep?
I could not identify the driver.
And you have seen Alex Cox before, correct?
I couldn't see anyone.
But you have seen Alex Cox before, correct?
Yes.
And you have been with him on many occasions. You know what he looks like, is that correct?
Correct.
And so you would recognize him if you had seen him, is that correct?
If I had seen him, I would recognize him.
So when you were looking, you said you first saw him in your rearview mirror. You saw the Jeep coming up towards you when you were pulled over, is that correct?
Correct.
And so you didn't see the driver at that time either in your rearview mirror?
That is correct.
Okay. You couldn't tell who was driving?
That is correct.
Not if it was a man or a woman?
That is correct.
Okay. So you didn't see the driver at all?
That is correct.
And then you didn't see the driver's, you didn't see the plate number either as well. Is that correct?
I did not give them the plate number, no.
And you had your phone in your hand or you did not?
Can you give me some more context? When are you speaking of?
When the Jeep passed you, where did you have your phone in your hand?
My phone was connected to my speakers. So
oh.
I was talking over the speakers, but I believe the phone was in my hand.
And like you didn't take a picture of the Jeep as it passed or the license plate or anything?
I did not.
Did you yourself personally take pictures of the Tesla after the incident?
Can you give me some context of when?
Any time after the alleged shooting.
I sold the car, so I took a lot of pictures of it before I sold it. So, yes, I did.
Did you take pictures of it immediately after?
Can you give me a definition of like when immediately is?
Like, did you take pictures of it showing the window missing?
At some point, I took a picture of my car. I can't tell you when specifically, with it missing a window.
And did you take pictures of the bullet hole?
At some point, I may have. I don't think I did, though.
Did you send those pictures to anyone?
I may have. I don't remember.
Did you send those pictures to your dad?
If I took a picture of my car, I may have sent a picture to my dad. It's not something that I recall off the top of my head.
Did you send pictures to the two friends that were there with you?
Can you object to relevance?
Sustained.
How long was it before you sold your Tesla after October 2nd?
I couldn't say. I gave it to the police. They had it for a while to run tests and do whatever they needed to do. Then when it was returned, I took it to a dealership to get it repaired. And after that, at some point, it was sold.
So did they repair it? They were able to repair everything?
They were.
Did they have to replace the whole door?
I don't know what all they had to do. I just paid for it after it was done.
So the police did not ask you to turn the car over to them, is that correct?
That is incorrect. I turned it over to them.
When did the police have the car?
As soon as the shooting happened, I gave it to them, and they kept it. I can't remember when they gave back to me, but they gave back to me later.
So days or weeks or months or how long after?
Like I said, I don't know specifically, but I would guess it was a couple weeks if I remember correctly.
Okay. So if that happened on October 2nd, then you had it back maybe before the end of October?
I did have it back before the end of October, I believe.
Okay. And was it the same as when they took it? Was it intact the same way, the window missing and the bullet hole?
I mean, I can't say if they, I would believe that whatever tests they did were not intrusive. I don't know if they did anything, but as far as the car being the same, it looked the same to me.
Okay. And then it was, then you sent it to get repaired after you got it back.
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay. And then how long did it take them to repair that car?
I can't recall.
Like weeks or days?
Like I said, I can't recall. I can't tell you a definitive time.
Do you have to have a rental car during that time?
I borrowed a friend's car.
Okay. At what point did you decide that the Jeep was gray and not puke green or camo green?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking.
Did you provide information to the Gilbert Police Department that it was a gray Jeep?
I believe I referred to it as several different colors throughout conversations I had with law enforcement.
Okay. And where did you get your information from the VIN number that it was actually a gray Jeep?
I did not.
Where did you get the information that it was a gray Jeep?
Later at some point, I decided I thought maybe it was gray.
Later at what point?
I can't say for certain.
A month later?
To me, puke green and gray are very similar in color. I identify both of them very similarly.
But when did you change your mind from puke green or olive green to gray?
Like I said, I didn't say that I changed my mind.
So in all the reports, they say a gray Jeep. No one ever says a green Jeep. So that information did not come from you?
I can't say what the reports say. I can only share what I can testify to, which is that to me those colors are very similar or the same.
So with you having access to the VIN number of a particular Jeep, would it give you the color of the car?
I never looked at it, so I can't tell you.
You never looked up that VIN number?
I never looked to see if it gave me a color.
Do you know if that's a thing that you can look up the VIN number and see the make and model and color of a car?
I can't testify to the ability to look that up. That's not something I'm an expert in.
And you've never done that?
Tried to look up a car color by the VIN number?
No, that you've never looked up that specific VIN number to that Jeep. Is that what you're testifying to today?
Can you give me some context?
Yes. So after October 2nd, did you ever look up the VIN number that you had access to of the Jeep Wrangler that was in my household?
I don't think I did. I don't have a recollection of it.
So did you just provide the VIN number to Detective Piller?
Yes.
And when did you provide the VIN number of my vehicle to Detective Piller?
I think on October 2nd. I'm not certain, but I think that's when I gave to him.
So on this day, on October 2nd, you provided that VIN number to the detective?
I think at some point, if I recall correctly, I remembered that I had it. So I got it and sent it to him just to make sure that he had it.
So at that point, even though you thought it was a puke green or olive Jeep, he would have access to the information that it was actually a gray Jeep that was in my family household. Is that correct?
I can't testify what he had access to.
But you provided him with that information that very day?
To the best of my recollection, yes.
Brandon, did you know of Alex being an avid shooter?
I knew that Alex liked to shoot guns.
Did you know that Alex liked to frequent the shooting range?
I didn't talk to Alex a lot about that, so I can't testify whether he liked to or not liked to.
But you knew through the family that he did go to the range a lot?
I mean, I can't testify. Like I said, I can't testify to whether or not I knew that he liked to go to the gun range.
Did you ever go to the gun range where he was there?
I did not.
Did you ever go to the gun range in anyone in my immediate family with them?
Can you define your immediate family?
Well, my brothers, sisters.
I don't recall going to the gun range with your brothers or sisters.
Did you ever go to the gun range?
Do you object to relevance?
Why is it relevant if he went to the gun range?
Do you own a gun, Mr. Boudreau?
I guess it's sustained.
To relevance.
Overruled, he can answer.
I do own guns now, yes.
Did you own a gun on October 2nd?
I did not own a gun on October 2nd.
You did not have any kind of gun in your possession on October 2nd?
I did not.
Did Melanie own a gun?
She did.
It was registered to Melanie, not to you?
She bought it, correct.
When you say that you provided the VIN number to Detective Piller, was that later in the day after the police had already left, or was it while he was still at the scene?
I believe it was after he left, but I'm not certain.
So how would you have gotten him that information?
Would have probably been through one of my friend's phones because he took my phone when he left.
So would it have been an email or a text message?
I believe it was a phone call.
A phone call.
But I'm not certain, like I said.
And at that time, you had handed over your phone to Detective Piller?
Yes.
When did you get your phone back?
It was late that night. I believe he had to give it to somebody who, I'm not a police officer, so I'm going to probably say this wrong, but they had to copy everything off of it, and it takes however long it takes. And so I turned it over, and then I just waited until that was done. And apparently I had a lot of stuff on that phone, so it took a long time.
A long time, meaning a day, 2 days, 6 days?
I believe he's already testified that night.
Sustained.
I'm sorry, I missed that. You had it back that night?
I actually, as I think about it, it may have even been in the morning that I went back and picked it up.
Okay.
I'm not certain, though. It was either that late that night or it might have been in that morning because I think I didn't have my phone that night.
Okay. Did you go buy another phone in the meantime?
No.
You just waited for it to be returned to you?
Yeah, it seemed like the most logical thing to do.
Did Melanie provide information to you that she was going to be out of town that weekend before October 2nd?
She did.
And was that the first time that you, that weekend of October 2nd, or those weekdays, I guess it was weekdays at that point, is that the first time that you activated the mediation agreement where the children were with you at the new house?
We were following our mediated agreement throughout the summer. However, that was the first time that I had a space where we both felt like the kids could move freely and be kids. So it was the first time that they got to come and spend time and enjoy it. They previously had stayed at my house, but I had to be very careful. It's an expensive house and it had to be show ready. Someone could come at any time.
So what day was it that the kids started being with you on your visitation that before October 2nd? Was it the 1st and the 2nd, something?
No, it would have happened the day that she left, I believe. I mean, I haven't reviewed this and it's been a long time, so I believe it would have been like a Thursday or Friday that I got the kids and I had them over the weekend and then until I did the drop off on October 2nd.
And what day of the week was October 2nd? I'm not sure I know. Do you remember?
I believe it would have been a Wednesday based off of our parenting schedule.
Okay. So on Wednesday is the day that you would have turned the kids over. They'd have gone to school and Melanie would have picked them up. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And that morning, had you talked to Melanie in the morning before school at all?
She and I only communicated through text.
Did you communicate with her through text that morning before school?
I texted her to let her know that I was dropping the kids off.
And then you had to have some kind of text messaging to let her know you were there to drop off Breeze, right?
Correct.
And you met at the park for that, is that correct?
Correct.
And then you went straight to the gym after dropping off Blake, is that correct?
Correct.
And that's about how far from Melanie's house to the EOS gym?
5 or 10 minute drive.
And then how far is that to your residence from the EOS gym?
5 or 10 minute drive.
So when you were driving down your street, when you turned onto your street, did you see anyone else out in the neighborhood?
I did not.
No one out walking or anything that you noticed?
Not that I noticed.
And when you drove away over by the pool area, was there anyone out in that location?
Not that I noticed.
How many cars would you say were parked on your street, on the Phelps Street, that morning?
There were two that I noticed. I couldn't tell you how many other cars were parked on the street.
But it's kind of a crowded street, so people do park on the street there that live in that neighborhood. Is that correct?
I have never testified to that. I can't recall.
And you had lived into this same neighborhood previously, is that correct?
Not this portion of the neighborhood, no.
Well, one neighborhood over on the same street, right?
I did live on previously I did live on the neighborhood over on the same street.
Right. So you're familiar with that neighborhood anyway, even though you only lived at this house for a short time. Is that correct?
I would not agree with that. This is a different section I didn't go to.
Because there's no no availability to go from that neighborhood to that neighborhood, even though it's the same street. Is that correct?
You can't drive. It's not connected in driving.
Correct. But literally, that house to that house is only like 10 houses away, really.
Are you, can you give me context? Which houses are you talking about?
I'm just saying, your rental house from the house you owned earlier on Phelps Street is really only about 10 houses away, even though there's a divider and no access to drive straight over.
Yeah, I've never counted how many houses, but it is a short distance between those two houses.
And you guys lived in that house for a long time before you moved, right?
Objection.
A few years.
Sustained.
Brandon, when you were providing all of this information to Detective Piller in regards to your relationship with Melanie, were you trying to have him charge Melanie with your murder?
Object to relevance.
Sustain.
No more questions, Your Honor.
Redirect.
I'm going to start by talking to you about June 25th, okay? Why did that date stick in your mind?
It was a painful date.
If you can get closer to you, Mike.
It was a painful date.
Why was it a painful day? Why did that stick in your mind?
My grandfather was someone who was really important to me, and I was dealing with sudden loss is traumatic. So I was dealing with that. And my family is the most important thing in this world to me. And so the dissolving of my family was probably one of the most painful things that I've gone through as a person. And that date is the start of the dissolving of my family.
Okay. So when you are talking with Melanie, was the focus of that argument about your marriage?
Yes.
And during that argument, did you and Melanie discuss issues within your marriage?
Yes.
And during that, did Melanie bring up reasons why the marriage was over?
Yes.
Did any of those reasons involve things that Melanie claimed you did to her aunt, Lori Vallow?
Yes.
So one of the reasons why the marriage was going to end was because of this defendant, Lori Vallow, things that she said you had done to her.
Yes.
Did that include the idea that you had hacked into Lori Vallow's computer?
Yes.
So that's something that Melanie was bringing up to you during this argument about the end of your marriage?
Yes.
Did the issue of you helping Charles Vallow try to take away Lori's Temple Recommend also come up?
Yes.
So again, your marriage and reasons why it's ending tied to Lori Vallow?
Yes.
Is that why you sent those text messages to Lori about the Temple Recommend that you had nothing to do with trying to take that away?
Yes.
You told her that was a lie?
Yeah.
During that argument, ultimately, did Melanie say that she just wanted to end the marriage?
Yes.
Prior to June 25th, did you think that you were about to get divorced?
No, I had no, there was no thought in my mind that that was going to be an outcome.
And then all of a sudden on June 25th, you start hearing about things that you've done to Lori Vallow that is why your marriage should end.
Yes.
Was it your belief, based upon your conversations with Melanie and with Charles Vallow, that Lori Vallow was involved in causing your divorce?
Yes.
I'm going to talk to you about your interview with Detective Piller on October 2nd of 2019, okay? Have you tried to memorize your transcript?
No, we talked for a while, so it would be a lot to try to memorize. No.
When we met, you listened to it again.
Yes, that was the first time I had heard it.
You have been asked by the defendant to read various parts of your transcript. Are you having difficulty recalling what happened to you that day with the Jeep?
No.
Were you trying to verify the specific words that you were telling Detective Piller during that interview?
Yeah, I think it's important for me to be honest and be thorough, so I wanted to make sure that I was thorough in what I was responding.
Can you tell us from your own memory what the Jeep looked like?
Yes.
What did it look like?
Like I described it that day, a puke green or a gray Jeep with no tire on the back, with a Texas plate.
Did you tell him that it was a Jeep Wrangler?
I did, yes.
What? How many doors did it have?
2-door.
That what you recall?
That's everything that I recall.
Is that what it was?
I believe that's what it is, yes.
And when you talk to us about what you saw happen, is that because you listened to an interview or your own independent memory of what happened?
Those are my memories.
So whether or not you used X word or Y word, do you remember that the back of the Jeep window lifted up and a rifle barrel came out and pointed at you and shot your car?
Yes, I'm certain that's what happened.
There were some questions about kids. You were given some portion of a transcript. At one point, are you talking to Detective Piller about calling 911?
Yes, I was explaining the dispatcher.
When you were talking to the 911 operator, do you mention to her that you think maybe someone was using a paintball gun?
Yes, I did.
When your car was hit and a bullet didn't go through the window, were you trying to figure out how that was possible?
Yes.
Did you later realize that it wasn't a paintball gun that hit your car?
Yeah, as I stated, I was certain once I saw the bullet hole in my car that the same reason I called 911 originally, that someone had shot at me, and it was definitely a gun, and it was definitely, they were trying to kill me.
So, why did you call 911?
Because I believe in following the law.
Did you think that you'd been shot?
Yes, and I wanted protection. I wanted to feel safe.
Okay. When you saw that bullet hole in your car and no paint on your car, what went through your head?
I think, like I said, it's a really scary thought because up until then, I think you want to feel safe. And so I was trying, you know, my window was broken, but I didn't see a bullet hole. And I was trying to think of something to make myself feel maybe safer. And when I saw that, I knew that there was no other option than that someone just shot at me and they were meaning to kill me. There's no other logical explanation for why that would have happened.
When you were driving back to your house from the pool area, you told us that you saw the Jeep going up Cole sort of in your direction initially, correct?
Correct.
And then you saw the Jeep turn right onto Waite?
Correct.
And you could see across that field, and then you saw it turn south onto Fisher?
Correct.
So you were asked about why would you return home? Did you actually see the Jeep sort of leave?
Yes, and that's why I turned around.
Did you, in fact, follow that same direction so you could see if the Jeep was still on Fisher?
Yes.
Did you see it on Fisher?
I did not.
When you turned onto Phelps, did you look down the street and see if you saw the Jeep?
I did not see it on Phelps.
So by then you knew it. The only other way it could go would be now into Fairview?
Correct. And I believe I told the person on dispatch that I had believed he went out onto Pecos.
And that's because that's the only way you can go from there, right?
Correct. I just wanted them to know there's only two exits.
When you got back into your driveway, you were still on with 911, right? We heard that.
I was, yes.
Were you thinking about, oh, no, if the door opens, the glass might fall out?
No, I wasn't thinking about that.
Were you trying to talk with the 911 operator and keep yourself under control?
Yeah, I was trying to make sure that I gave them all the information they needed.
Were you trying to watch and document how the glass might have fallen out of the window when the door opened?
No, I actually was surprised when it fell because it wasn't something I was expecting.
Same thing when you were up by the pool. Were you thinking rational enough as you're talking on the phone with the 911 operator about someone just shooting at you to think, oh, I should make sure that I take a photo of this Jeep?
No, if you recall, I was a little out of breath, and I was very nervous. That's a nerve-wracking experience.
Is that when we heard you actually almost like panting like you had been running?
Yeah, yes.
And do you wish you'd seen the driver?
Of course. I wish that my Tesla camera worked. I wish a lot of things.
But you didn't.
I did not.
You were asked a lot about this VIN for vehicles. When you are given a VIN number, does that mean you get to see the car? Does that have anything to do with a visual of the vehicle?
No, it's just a number that identifies cars.
So in your use of a VIN number to look up car insurance, did you care the color or the accessories on a vehicle?
I mean, an insurance company might, but you have to think they had multiple cars. I had to take all those VIN numbers, put them in, and then you go run it through a software and it tells you who's going to give them the best price. So I wouldn't have been paying much attention to any of those details. I can't even recall what any of them were on the cars.
So you're just putting in the VIN numbers to see who might pop up the best insurance rate.
Yes.
You were asked a lot about communications with Detective Piller. Did you know him before this?
No, I met him that day.
Was he the assigned case agent for your case?
Yes, he was.
So that's the person you were supposed to communicate with about your case?
Yes.
You were asked about having a large amount of text messages or phone calls or emails with Detective Piller over the last 5+ years. Do you recall that?
Yes.
Would it be fair to say that all of those communications that you have had with Detective Piller over the last 5+ years were not just about this case?
That is correct.
Would it be fair to say that some of those communications that you have had with Detective Piller over the last 5+ years were in relation to a completely separate investigation?
That is correct.
On October 2nd of 2019, did you tell Detective Piller that you believed Lori Vallow and Alex Cox were involved or responsible for this shooting?
Yes, I did.
So this is before you had access to VIN numbers or anything else?
That's correct.
While you are still sitting there being told by the police not to leave. Detective Piller comes over and takes you away from sitting under the shade, brings you to his car, and interviews you.
Yes.
And you tell him that.
Yes.
So even if Melanie had some financial gain in if you had died, did that change your opinion at all that Lori Vallow and Alex Cox were involved in this shooting of you on October 2nd of 2019?
No.
I have no other questions.
Are there any questions for this witness from any member of the jury? All right, seeing none, you can step down, sir.
Thank you.
I'm going to call your next witness. All right, sir, come on up and be sworn in right here.
Hello. Hello. Can you please say and spell your first and last name?
Nathan Duncan, N-A-T-H-A-N-D-U-N-C-A.
Thank you. Raise your right hand, please. You do solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give me the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Walk around the court reporter up there. Would you please introduce yourself to the jury?
Good afternoon. My name is Nathan Duncan. I'm a detective with the Chandler Police Department.
How long have you worked for the Chandler Police Department?
25 years.
And I want to talk to you about an incident that occurred in Chandler, Arizona on July 11th of 2019 involving Lori Vallow and Alexander Cox. Okay. At that date, did you go to Lori Vallow's residence at 5531 South Four Peaks Drive in Chandler, Maricopa County, Arizona?
I did.
Do you see Lori Vallow in the courtroom today?
I do.
Can you point her out and identify what she's wearing?
She's seated at the defense table, blonde hair and a gray sport jacket.
Your Honor, may the record reflect the witnesses identified the defendant.
And shall.
While you were at that residence, were photographs taken of the vehicles?
Yes, they were.
Was there a 2018 Jeep Wrangler located in the garage of Lori Vallow's residence?
Yes, there was.
Showing the defendant exhibits 81 through. Through 89. Do you recognize those as photographs of that Jeep Wrangler from Lori Vallow's residence in Chandler, Arizona on July 11th of 2019?
I do.
State will move to admit 81 through 89.
We do have an objection. Could we have a sidebar on that, Your Honor?
Okay.
So the state will move to admit 81 through 89.
Without waiving any objection by the defendant, those exhibits are admitted.
So detective, were photographs taken of the vehicles at this residence on July 11th of 2019?
Yes, they were.
And inside the garage itself, did the Chandler police photograph a Jeep Wrangler?
We did.
So exhibit 81 and 80, are we seeing sort of the side and then 82 the front of that Jeep?
Yes.
When we get to 83, so let me pull it back a little more. And then a close-up, is that the license plate that was on the Jeep at Lori Vallow's house on July 11th with a Texas plate of LWD0997?
Yes, it is.
And 85 as well, and it's not shown as well. Can I have my paralegal just take one of these up there?
Yes.
85. Looking at the photos without the glare of the Elmo, were you able to kind of see into the vehicle through the tint?
You can slightly see into that, yes.
Okay. And so, for instance, you could see shapes like the seats and things like that through the tint?
Correct.
Okay. I'll take that back. Thank you. I know it doesn't show as well when we're looking at it on the Elmo with the glare, but even in Exhibit 86, we can see, for instance, the seat back through that rear window, correct?
Yeah. Yes.
Also, on the front of that vehicle, of the Jeep, was there a sticker right in the corner?
There was, yes.
Okay. And again, when we look at 88, you're able to see through the Jeep into the back?
You can see through the Jeep towards the back of the garage there, yes.
Okay. And then that's the side of the, and let me pull out, of the Jeep in Exhibit 89?
Correct.
Now, when you were at the residence on July 11th, was Alexander Cox also present?
He was.
And did he have a vehicle at that residence when you were there on July 11th?
He did. He had a Ford pickup truck.
And was that a 2017 Ford F-150?
Yes.
And you previously had looked at those photos, exhibits 90 through 92. The state will move to admit those.
They're admitted without waiving objection.
Was Alexander Cox's truck located in the driveway of the residence?
Yes, it was.
And is this what we see here in Exhibit 90?
It is.
Exhibit 91, is that sort of show the side of the vehicle?
The passenger side, yes.
And then a further away in Exhibit 92?
Yeah, from a front view of the passenger side.
Did you, in being at that residence on July 11th, note that the Ford F-150 had an Arizona license plate, personalized one of CPQUINT?
That is correct.
At that time, did you learn Alex Cox's cell phone number was 480-351-9120?
Yes, I did.
And did you learn that Lori Vallow had a cell phone number of 808-755-5452?
Correct.
Did you later learn that Lori Vallow had another cell phone number of 480-692-9562?
Yes.
Did you ever obtain a search warrant for an iCloud account that was associated to Lori Vallow for loriforstyle@icloud.com?
I did.
Can you tell us how you were able to determine that that was associated to Lori Vallow?
So first and foremost, the phone number that is associated with the subscriber was a phone number linked to the defendant. In examining the content of that iCloud, I was able to locate photographs, videos, text messages, and emails, all linking the defendant to that iCloud.
What is an iCloud account?
So basically, an iCloud is iCloud account, to put it simply, is a cloud account for Apple users. So anybody who's using an Apple device has the ability to store or back up data from their device to the cloud.
So when you obtained those iCloud records, did you get an affidavit authenticating those from Apple?
I did.
Show defendant exhibits 184, 85, and 86. Did you review and look through all of those iCloud records?
Yes, I did.
In those records, did you see messages, text messages, or sometimes referred to as SMS messages, between Alex Cox and Lori Vallow?
I did.
Did you ever see any mention of, between those text messages, Lori Vallow providing her brother Alex Cox with an email or Gmail account address?
Yes, I did.
And if I can have my paralegal approach with 184 and 185. Is 184 the affidavit that was provided as part of that search warrant that you obtained for the Lori for Style at iCloud?
Yes, it is.
And is 185 the text messages that you just spoke about relating to the conversation between Alex Cox and Lori Vallow where the email address is requested?
Yes, and that context or that communication is through phone.
Through phone.
Yeah.
State will move to admit exhibit 184 and 185.
Just object to relevance, Your Honor.
184, 185, Redmond.
So on 185 here, is this sort of a report that's created to pull out these specific messages between the phoned for Lori Vallow and Alex Cox?
Yes, that's correct.
Do we see on here that the source is the Lori for Style at iCloud account?
Yes.
Is this time and date for when this occurred?
Yes, so the time you see there is 3/10/2019 at 7:58:50 p.m. And the UTC minus 7 means that it has been adjusted to Arizona time.
Okay. And so on this one, we see that this is from Alex Cox to Lori Vallow?
Correct.
And that's one of the phone numbers that you previously testified to that you learned belonged to Lori Vallow?
Yes.
And that was one of the phone numbers that was in this iCloud account as being hers?
Yes.
So in this, do we see Alex Cox then requesting from Lori Vallow, hey, Lo, what's your new address?
You do.
And then does he a little bit later, I guess, clarify email address?
Yes.
And then in the third line, do we see now from Lori Vallow to Alex Cox on March 10th of 2019 at 8:07 p.m., where she gives a lollytimeforever@gmail.com?
Correct.
When you were reviewing that iCloud account, you told us that a lot of different data is saved there. When someone has a cell phone and is having text messages coming in and out, or you're sending them out, are those some of the things that can be saved in an iCloud account?
Yes, they can.
In this case, did you recall seeing text messages between or from Brandon Boudreaux to Lori Vallow in her iCloud account?
I did.
Did those records reflect whether or not those messages were read or not?
They do, yes.
If I can have my paralegal approach with 186. Do you recognize those as text messages from Brandon Boudreaux to Lori Vallow on June 25th of 2019?
I do.
And do they reflect that Lori Vallow read those?
It does show a read date on there, yes.
Okay. State will move to admit 186.
Foundation objection, Your Honor.
What foundation's lagging?
The fact that, I don't know, okay. Foundation objection.
It's admitted.
If I may publish. So when we are looking at this, is this another sort of report made where you can pull out specific messages that are part of the hundreds or thousands of text messages that might have been saved in that iCloud account?
Yes, it is.
So again, as we're looking at this, this is Lori Vallow's iCloud account, where we see it's to her, correct?
Correct.
And again, we see the Lori for Style at iCloud?
Yes.
And so the date of June 25th of 2019 at 6:46 p.m.?
Correct.
And we see here a message. Can you tell us what that message was?
This is the content of the message. It was Brandon sending Lori a message, also indicating that he had sent the same message to Charles as well about being accused of having or being involved in taking her temple recommend from her.
Okay. And does this show that Lori Vallow read that on June 25th at 8:19:57 p.m.?
It does.
Did you see additional messages from Brandon Boudreaux as the evening wore on to Lori Vallow?
Correct.
The next one being at 9:10 p.m.?
Yes.
And does that show that that was read by Lori Vallow at 10:08 p.m.?
Correct.
And then the final message sent by Brandon Boudreaux at 9:12 p.m.?
Correct.
And that was read at 10:08?
Yes.
Did you ever see any responses in the iCloud accounts from Lori Vallow back to Brandon Boudreaux with regards to this conversation?
I did not, no.
Did you ever learn that Alex Cox had moved to Rexburg, Idaho?
I did.
Did you ever learn that Lori Vallow had moved to Rexburg, Idaho?
Yes, I did.
Did you ever obtain a search warrant for an iCloud account, Lollytime at iCloud, that was associated to Lori Vallow?
I did.
How did you associate the Lollytime account to Lori Vallow?
Very similar to the Lori for Style. There was a phone number associated in the subscriber information that was linked to her, as well as looking at the content of the iCloud. There was emails, messages, videos, and pictures that would link that to her.
Was that Lollytime at iCloud account associated to one of Lori's cell phone numbers, the 480-692-9542 number?
Yes.
In that iCloud account, did you see photographs of Lori Vallow and her wedding with Chad Daybell in Hawaii?
I did.
Was that in November of 2019?
Yes, it was.
Like the other iCloud account, did you receive an affidavit authenticating those records?
I did.
As part of the iCloud records, we talked about text messages, did the iCloud accounts also contain emails that were saved in the lollytime@icloud.com account?
There were emails, yes.
Did you note any emails between August 14th and October 1st that indicated that Lori Vallow had moved back to Rexburg, Idaho?
I did.
Did those text messages show her scheduling to see a unit at 565 Pioneer Road in Rexburg, Idaho?
They did.
Did they also show her emailing her payment to Blue Sky Properties Management Company for 565 Pioneer Road?
Yes, it did.
I can have my paralegal approach with 187 and 188. The last section for this witness, Your Honor.
Okay.
So 187 was that the affidavit that was sent in relation to the Lollytime at iCloud account?
Yes, it was.
And 188 is that a report of some of those emails that were saved in that Lollytime iCloud account relating to that time period and Rexburg, Idaho, and the Blue Sky properties?
Yes, it is.
State will move to admit 187 and 188 into evidence.
Any objection?
Your Honor, can we have a sidebar? I have a question on that.
Why don't we go ahead and take our recess for the jury. We'll recess for approximately 15 minutes, and then we'll take that. All right, please be seated. What was the number again? Was it at 187 and 188?
Yes, 187 and 188.
All right, what was the issue?
I just had a question on foundation. Did Detective Duncan say that he did the extraction? I must have missed that. I don't want to keep making the same objection if he did testify to that, that he did the extraction himself?
It's not an extraction. iCloud sends the records from Apple.
It wasn't an extraction from a phone or a device. It was
a
response to a search warrant subpoena, right?
So they just send over the whole account? And they sent it directly to Detective Duncan? That's what I'm trying to find out. He's the person that got this information?
I guess ask some follow-up on how he gets this information when the jury comes back in. And then they'll likely be admitted. All right, everyone take a break.
All right.
Yes.
And again, we know this is from the Lollytime iCloud, both here from source as well as we see it over here.
Correct.
Now, did you also see emails from a Hilton, a hotel up in the Rexburg area, in those iCloud records?
I did.
And so here do we see from August 15th, from the Hampton to the Lollytime account, a confirmation?
Yes, you do.
And again, so we can see then on the 25th, we now are getting a receipt that was sent to her email from the Hampton Inn and Suites Rexburg.
Correct.
And again, that's sent to the Lollytime iCloud account.
Yes.
So it appeared to be when she checked out, the receipt being mailed to her.
Correct.
And then again, that same day, sort of another email, again, from the Hampton Inn and Suites in Rexburg, sort of thanking her for choosing them.
Sure.
Did you then see on, let me open this up so we can see the date better.
There's more live courtroom coverage coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a second from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big. Ready to level up your day? Then join me and my friends at LoneStarCasino.com. That's LoneStar Casino, where you can experience the thrill of Las Vegas, no matter where you are. LoneStarCasino.com is an absolutely free-to-play social casino with thousands of games, daily bonuses, free spins, and jackpots that pop like fireworks. Hit pause on life and hit play on LoneStarCasino.com.
Lone Star Casino is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit LoneStarCasino.com for more details.
Sign up today for an incredible welcome bonus. Play bold. Win big.